Good morning. This is Dallas Townsend with the CBS World News Roundup. The Republican Platform Committee resumes work today after another long night of deliberations in Kansas City. Among its latest actions, a move to include support for the proposed Equal Rights Amendment to the Constitution, thus reversing the previous decision of a subcommittee. Reed Collins reports.
The platform writers had debated an hour and a half before accepting ERA as part of this year's GOP platform. The contest was the first test of content strength between the Ford and Reagan forces. Mrs. Frances Weideman of Alabama urged the platform not just take a neutral attitude, but reject ERA outright.
We are here to tell our candidates and our elected representatives what we, the people from the grassroots and from the boondocks, feel and what we believe. Because you see, we live in those boondocks, and these elected representatives are the people who are elected to represent us. They're not to tell us what to do. We're to tell them what we want.
Congressman Silvio Conti of Massachusetts, a Ford supporter, urged ERA be included in the platform.
Ms. Weidman says she's from the boondocks. I just happen to be an old country boy from the Berkshires. And I feel very strongly that we should adopt something in the platform endorsing the ERA amendment.
As the vote came in, Mr. Ford's campaign manager, Rogers Morton, beamed out in the audience. Morton said that he was glad the platform included ERA, but he said such issue victories at this stage are not necessarily barometers of an entire convention's will. Morton still predicts a first ballot victory, though, for Mr. Ford. This is Reed Collins, CBS News in Kansas City.
Today, the platform committee turns to foreign policy, and we'll hear about that from Leslie Stahl.
Such controversial issues as the Panama Canal, detente, Taiwan, and the administration's Africa policy could turn the committee stage into a boxing ring. But there are signs that peace may prevail. Yesterday, both the Ford and Reagan camps said they could live with the language now in the draft plank. There is no mention at all of detente, nor any criticism of Secretary of State Kissinger's Africa policy, particularly of his cooling of relations with Rhodesia. On the Panama Canal, the Reagan supporters did not win language calling for U.S. sovereignty over the canal in perpetuity, but they did win a clause calling for U.S. military superiority over the Soviets. The one unknown factor, as has been the case all week here, is the group of conservative mavericks who say they may fight hard for some of these issues, particularly on the question of Taiwan. They want a clause calling for continued commitment to a treaty of mutual defense and diplomatic relations with the island of Taiwan, language Mr. Ford opposes. Leslie Stahl, CBS News, Kansas City.
Liberal Republicans on the platform committee have been watching the proceedings with a certain amount of gloom. Among them last night was Cliff Groh of Alaska.
I get the feeling as I sit back here in the back of the bus that I'm participating in the possible dismemberment of the Republican Party. One of our purposes here is hopefully to be elected come November. We have successively in the last few hours done the following. Probably lost the teachers with the Treen Amendment suggesting the termination of federal aid to education. Probably lost a substantial number of working Americans through that platform. And now we're going to go ahead and lose the women.
Groh made that remark, however, before the platform committee voted in favor of the Equal Rights Amendment. Jimmy Carter and California Governor Jerry Brown are holding a news conference this morning in Plains, Georgia. The Democratic presidential nominee and his former rival met at the Carter home yesterday to talk about plans for the coming campaign. While Brown acknowledges that he and Carter do have their policy differences, the California governor says he will back the Carter candidacy all the way. Brown arrived in Plains yesterday just as CIA Director George Bush was leaving after giving Carter and his running mate Walter Mondale a briefing on national security matters. Today in Beirut, some pockets of resistance remain in the Tal Azhar Palestinian refugee camp, but its main defenses collapsed yesterday after a lengthy siege. Doug Tunnell tells us about the aftermath.
Gunmen from Beirut's Christian sector are combing the rubble of Tal Azhar camp today. It is a day for mopping up. There are no more sustained battles, only an occasional burst of machine gun fire from some distant building. What was once one of the largest and most heavily fortified Palestinian camps in Lebanon has fallen. and in Muslim Beirut, there is confusion and fear. Diplomats here estimate that some 8 to 12,000 people from Tell Azhar crossed into the Muslim district on Thursday. Most were women and children. Reliable eyewitnesses report that at least 200 Palestinians were taken by enraged Christian gunmen and executed as they fled the camp. Today, it is the Palestinian guerrillas who are enraged. They have charged the Christians with a massacre, and many here fear a new wave of reprisals. There has been some kidnapping in the Muslim district, but beyond that, few can say for sure what the Palestinians are planning. They seem to have few options left. The fall of Tell Azhar is their greatest defeat. Many feel helpless and cornered now, and they are looking for someone else to blame. Doug Tunnell, CBS News, Beirut.
The government of Syria today announced the closing of its border with Lebanon, thus banning all travel between the two countries. No reason is given for the move. The only land route from Lebanon to the outside world has been through Damascus, the Syrian capital. Again today, racial disorders broke out in South Africa. Robin Wright reports the latest from Johannesburg.
Violence broke out again this morning in the black township of Nyanga outside Cape Town when a large crowd of Africans assembled at a medical clinic and tried to burn it down. A recreation hall in Nyanga has already been destroyed. Blacks are also reported to be marching on the police station at Langa, another township near Cape Town. Journalists on the outskirts of the sealed-off suburbs report hearing gunshots. This is the third day of violence in the Cape Town area, where 29 people have been killed and over 100 injured in confrontations with police. Robin Wright for CBS News, Johannesburg.
Mozambique this morning charges that more than 600 people were killed by the Rhodesian military strike into Mozambique last Sunday. A government radio broadcast alleges that completely defenseless men, women, and children were killed in the attack on a town 25 miles inside the border, a town where the broadcast says thousands of refugees were staying. Rhodesia said 3 days ago that the raid was aimed at the Rhodesian guerrilla base and headquarters on Mozambique soil. The poisonous gas cloud that spread recently from a factory in Seveso, Italy, is having sad after effects. Italian doctors today performed abortions on three women who were afraid that their exposure to the gas would cause deformed babies. Bert Quint reports from the scene.
For the hundreds of pregnant women in this area, it's an agonizing choice. For one thing, they are Roman Catholics, and the church has made it clear it opposes abortions, even under these circumstances. For another, they have few concrete facts to go on. They come to a school in Seveso that has been turned into a clinic. They seek guidance, but all they can be told is that perhaps they would give birth to deformed children. They and the other 100,000 persons who live in the affected zones hear many rumors about the gas and what it could do to them, and reports about the possible need for homes and fields to be destroyed. But nobody really seems to know anything. Not even whether or not they are carrying some disease now inside of them. One young couple, married early this year, expressed the dilemma. The husband said, there's a risk in having the child, but there's always a risk to everything. His wife, 4 months pregnant, said wistfully, this would be our first child. I would like to have it. Bert Quint, CBS News, Seveso, Italy.
Police in Monza, Italy, north of Milan, say art thieves have stolen $12 million worth of paintings from the deserted villa of industrialist Angelo Sala. The robbers anesthetized two watchdogs left behind to guard the villa while Sala was on vacation. Among the paintings are works by Titian, Tiepolo, Velazquez, and Rubens. Democratic Representative Wayne Hayes of Ohio this morning withdrew as a candidate for re-election. This means that Hayes will leave Congress when his term expires in January. Hayes has notified the County Board of Elections in East Liverpool, Ohio, of his decision. Earlier this year, he was involved in a Washington sex scandal. Federal Judge Jack Weinstein in Brooklyn Federal Court this morning granted a preliminary injunction barring the scheduled sale next Tuesday of 800,000 acres of offshore oil drilling sites off the coast of New Jersey. Weinstein said he's doing this because the litigation has substantial economic, social, environmental, and political impact.